Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike, and today we are joined by Sean Smith from Albuquerque Center and Scott Hughes, also from Albuquerque Center, and they're going to talk to us today about mountain flying. So, how do you fly a mountain?
That's an excellent question. I don't know if it's physically possible, though.
Or I'm sure with some fancy physics, we might be able to come up with an equation to do it.
Exactly.
You know, in all seriousness, there are a lot of different risks associated with flying around mountains. And Center can actually provide a lot of tools to help mitigate those risks. What are some of the things you recommend to pilots when they're flying in the mountains?
So first, definitely want to pick up flight following. We always want to talk to pilots, especially if you're out flying, please talk to us. Going into VFR flight following, we can provide services. We have our terrain maps that we can pull up and help you out if you get in a pickle. We have the weather. We can call the weather, the precipitation on our scopes to help you get a better picture of what's ahead of you and what you may need to do to get around it. For Albuquerque Center, what we do when we have someone coming from maybe what we call the flatlanders coming in from the
we understand that concept.
Right. That's us. Yeah.
That's us. Well, a lot of what we'll do is we'll ask you when you come over on our frequency, are you familiar with high terrain along your route of flight? And that's basically asking two things. Can you see the terrain in front of you? Is it VMC? If not, let me know so I can kind of guide you. But it's also, are you familiar? Did you do your route planning? Do you know that this peak coming up is at 13,161 feet? Do you have a plan for that?
And how important has the introduction of ADS-B been to kind of helping you as well as helping the pilots?
I know from our standpoint, too, in my specialty, it's been awesome being able to get people picked up as far as what they call us for flight following or IFR. We already have their call sign attached. That's been super helpful. That's kind of been one of my big points on that. And
with mountain flying, it used to be that we'd lose a lot of aircraft below 13,000 if they didn't have ADS-B or before ADS-B. Now, and we'd have to terminate services because we didn't want to give a false sense of security that, you know, we're going to pick you back up. And so now we're having to terminate people because of the radio coverage between certain towers. We won't be able to talk to you for maybe 50 to 70 miles. And so what we'll do is we'll radar service terminate, but we're going to tell you who the next controller is, their frequency, where you can be able to pick them up. But we also want to get out there that if you monitor the previous frequency or the next frequency, there's aircraft on those frequencies.
Sure.
If you need help, speak up and we can get a relay going, get help going. So.
And the other, you know, we talk about mountain flying from the standpoint of avoidance, you know, to avoid the granite. But there's also can be some extreme weather associated with mountain flying. I've often said, because I used to fly in and out of Denver quite a lot, that the mountains make their own weather. Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't. Like the convective activity around it, when you look at storms building around, whether it's icing, I mean, emergency situations can develop really quickly. And we don't have a lot of wiggle room when you guys are over the high terrain. So we're trying to come up with plans as well, which we briefed this morning, which we have another presentation this coming Friday morning at 8 o'clock in the NACA booth for another mountainous terrain talk that we're doing, Scott and I. And we want to be a part of the cockpit with y'all. And again, icing can be a problem, convective activity. Let us know what you guys need and make us a part of that. Make us a part of your team, and we'll be able to kind of help you guys navigate that stuff and be able to work around it.
From an air traffic control standpoint, does NACA have, let's call it, educational materials that if, you know, I'm planning my first flight into, you know, mountainous areas, I want to learn more? Are you a source for that?
It's as far as pilot planning, I'm not too sure on our end. I know looking at your chart, sectional charts.
Of course. Yeah.
And again, we're going to ask you about the terrain when you guys are coming in. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with it, we want you to speak up and not just tell us that you are. We can tell if you're kind of uncertain, we might be able to help you navigate that. But as far as that goes, just making us a part of your team on there, giving us the truth on what's going on, we can be able to help you guys navigate that a lot easier.
Has radar coverage changed as time has gone on that you have better radar coverage, or do we still just deal with the physical limitations of the fact that there's a mountain between you and me?
Yeah, so there's still limitations with the radar. But going back to your question about ADS-B, that's where it's really helped us out. Mm-hmm. I can now see aircraft going into Taos, New Mexico, down to maybe 8,000 or 9,000 feet, where before I'd lose you on radar, maybe at 10,000 or 11,000 feet. So, but like you were saying, there is the mountains in the way, and that's kind of with our transmitters. We have a sector or airspace we work in northern New Mexico where we have 8 different transmitters, 7 different receivers. And so we're trying to bounce around and get everybody. And so if you're on one side of the mountain, you can't hear the pilot on the other side of the mountain talking. So it kind of stepped on us. So we have to kind of be patient and work and just keep pilots up to speed on, hey, I need to talk to someone over here. Give me a minute, stand by, or something like that.
I don't have a whole lot of experience flying VFR in the mountains, but I am aware that in Alaska, they're starting to chart some mountain passes and give pilots VFR fixes to help not go through clouds to get through passes, but just make sure they know where they are going through passes. Is there anything like that in the lower 48 also?
I've seen them up in Southern California. Colorado, mm-hmm. up with the La Vida Pass.
Oh, yeah.
So I've seen that charted. We actually can pull up the weather station close to La Vida Pass and kind of get the weather, which is always interesting, especially during the winter, to pull it up or when there's high winds or something like that. We can get Wolf Creek Pass there in Colorado to kind of pull it up and see. But as far as the passes, I have seen the passes getting depicted. I'm not sure if they're putting the fixes. That'd probably be a question for someone in charts. But I have seen some of that kind of, at least in my airspace.
Giving additional tools to the pilots to make sure they know where they are.
Exactly, yeah. I agree.
So your colleagues yesterday were talking about the importance of flight following, and you've brought up the importance of flight following. How do we get the word out that it's easy to do, you should do it, they don't mind, it'll help you, it'll help them? How do you think we can get the word out?
Well, Paul, I mean, great question. That's one of my biggest emphases here that I love to preach on. But again, we want to talk to you. It can be intimidating, I know, for a lot of people, but we want you flight following with ATC. If there is an issue that you have on the aircraft, whether it's mechanical, whether you have an emergency on board, whatever it is, if we have to locate you, it's going to take precious time out that we just don't have. And if we're already providing flight following to you, we know where you're at, we can get you services right away and be able to start working on that versus having to now find you, identify you, and then get into what we have. So again, we can lose a minute, 2 minutes just trying to locate you guys on that. So again, we want to talk to you. We are your eyes in the sky. We want to be a part of your team. We want to be your co-pilots with you guys. So again, a huge emphasis on that. Please talk to us. We want to talk to you and give you flight following.
And a lot of newer pilots are intimidated by you. I mean, I don't know why, because you're such nice people.
Thank you.
But what would you say to somebody who is afraid that they're not going to get the verbiage 100% right, or that they're scared that they might do something wrong?
Everyone has their first time on the radio, and so in order to get better, you have to get out there and try and practice. And so being prepared of what to say, like when you're public speaking, knowing what you're going to talk about. So before you key up the mic, just go through your mind, or maybe practice it before you key up and say it. And then as you get further along in your pilot experience, your phraseology is going to get better. But everyone has to start somewhere.
Yeah, it's like doing EA radio interviews, right?
Right, yeah, this is my first one. So
yeah, you're doing good.
Thanks.
That's great. Albuquerque Center is a big area, and you were talking about, it could take us time to find you if you're not getting flight following. And I mean, that's one of the reasons, right, is that you've got a lot of geography to cover, multiple transmitter sites.
Correct.
So trying to get the person in the right sector can be a challenge, whereas if he's already there, he's there.
Correct. And I mean, and to touch on a point that Scott had made too, radio transmitter sites could be an issue with the terrain as well. So there's situations where if you are getting flight following and we can't talk to you in those areas, we will terminate flight following with you. It's not that we don't want to talk to you. It's based purely on the fact that I don't want to provide you services that you're expecting when we actually can't see you or talk to you.
Of course.
So that's something too where, I don't want people to take offense if we terminate them for flight following, because it's a lot of times it's due to limitations that we have on our side. But I mean, again, just to emphasize, if the controller says something to you that you don't understand, ask them to repeat it versus just acknowledging that you did get that response. Don't ever feel like you cannot speak up and say something.
And of course, that's important all over the country.
Correct.
Yes.
All over the world.
I'm sure you would rather have a question than not.
Correct, Paul. And I mean, if someone keys up with me and I'm talking too fast because I'm in the rhythm, and they say, "Center, you're talking really fast. Can you slow down?" I'm going to dial my gears back to be able to help out there.
This is a question I ask every time you folks come in, and I'll ask you again. You're waving a wet magic wand over all the pilots because you're going to fix one problem that bugs you or needs to be fixed on the pilot side. What would that be?
For mine, it would be flight following. Yeah. I'd want you to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Again, because I can't tell you how many times where we've had situations. I've been in Algorithm Center for 17 years in the same specialty where people will call up and we lose a minute and a half of precious time that we don't have. Mm-hmm. And if we were already talking to you, we would have had that time, and that result might not have been representing into a fatality possibly.
And in addition to that minute and a half is how long did it take to the pilot to get onto your frequency and find the frequency if they weren't already talking to you?
Correct.
So it's probably even longer.
Correct. All right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we push aviate, navigate, communicate as well. And I know a lot of times, again, if we're a part of that team, you let us know what you need, whether you're into icing or whatever. We want to know what your plans are. We'll start working on our own plans from there to be able to help you with as well. But we want to be a part of your team to be able to help you get to wherever you're going safely.
And Scott, do you have a, you know...
It piggybacks off Sean is, talk to us. We're there to help you. We're there to provide services. I mean, I have experiences where I see two aircraft coming, passing each other, right past each other. No one's talking to us. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they saw them because, you know, VFR, but we want to talk to aircraft so that we can be there for you and be able to provide a service.
You and your team do a great job.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, we have been talking to Sean Smith and Scott Hughes from Albuquerque Center. You're listening to EAA Radio.